Has everybody got a handout? Get your hand out if you...
Yeah, I know. You always got a handout. Yeah.
It says, fill it. Fill it. Fill it.
Amen.
Good Baptist. All right. This morning we're going to be continuing our study that we've been doing on the cults. And we'll be looking this morning at the Church of Christ. Before we do that, I happened to be over getting the vehicle worked on Friday. I don't get a paper, but they had one sitting over there, so I always go to the important places in the paper and do the cryptograms and the crossword puzzles. But I saw this on the front of the region section, and it's got that right there. It's a little 8-year-old girl putting a crown on a statue of Mary in southern Alabama. The Bible Belt. Christ the King Catholic School students. Now, there are quite a few other Christian schools around. You're aware of that, right? But this is the one that makes the paper. The Bible says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know who said that? Jesus Christ. You find out who's of Jesus Christ and who isn't that way. That's how you find out. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. This annual Catholic tradition includes hymns, prayers, a benediction, and the crowning of the statue in the church. Second grader Riley Panza above crowns a statue of Mary with fresh flowers. Panza was selected because she is the youngest second grade girl in the school. And her father is one of the biggest contributors. Oh, no, they didn't put that part in here. Eighth grade boys from left, Evan Baker, Kellen Bullock, and Matthew Cazales carry a statue of Mary, whom Catholics revere as the Mother of God. Is Mary the Mother of God?
No.
If God has a mother, then who's really the God?
That's right.
See? If God had a mother, then God was begotten of his mother. Mother Nature, Queen of Heaven. You read your Bible? Or do you just use it kind of as a ornament on the coffee table? Do you read it? If you read it, you'd know this stuff is paganism. And it's idolatry, and it brings demons into a country. That's the warning from the Bible. See? You know where most of your atheists are and most of your evolutionists are? Find a place that's controlled by Roman Catholicism, and that's what follows. Now, these kids here, probably nice kids, probably aren't lawbreakers or anything like that. But they're ignorant, and if somebody doesn't tell them the truth, they're going to think that because they're walking around with a statue of Mary, that somehow that's going to give him entrance into heaven. And that's sad. That's sad. It's just preparing young people to be good idolaters when they get older. But that's why we're studying these cults. Amen? You need to know this stuff so you can tell others. That's why we give you the handouts, so that you can keep them and have this information available. All right, now we're going to be looking to this morning at the cults of the Church of Christ. Amen. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer before we get started this morning. Brother Wayne, would you ask the Lord to bless our Sunday school hour this morning, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day in your house, dear Lord. We just thank you for each and every person that's here today, dear Lord. We just ask you, Brother Ray, brings a Sunday school message this morning, dear Lord, that you open our mind, open our hearts, dear Lord, open our eyes, and just take your word in and hide it in our heart, dear Lord. We just ask you as the teachers in the back, dear Lord, teach the little ones, dear Lord, that you just open their hearts, dear Lord, and just pour your word in there that, you know, if there's someone that comes today, dear Lord, that don't know you as their Savior, that before they leave, they will. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, of course, when we're doing this study on the cults, it's real easy for people to take this stuff and say, well, there's Brother Ray or there's Seminole Baptist Church and they don't have any love because look at how they're putting down somebody else's religion. Listen, it's simply about the truth. And if you love the truth, Jesus Christ said, the truth will set you free. The idea is if you really love people, you've got to love them enough to tell them the truth. Paul said in Galatians 5, have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? Okay? You ought to love the truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not, in the book of Proverbs. So we're looking this morning at the cult of the Church of Christ. And you say that down south, and a lot of people say, well, what do you mean cult? It's just the Church of Christ. It's just another denomination. This is the southern cult, if there is one. This is the cult, and the danger of this cult is that even Christians many times don't recognize it for what it is, a cult. See, they think it's just another denomination, and it is not. It began in between 1800 and 1830 in Kentucky during the great Presbyterian Cumberland Valley revivals. And at that time, a man named Stone and a couple of brothers, last name Campbell, decided that they needed to start a non-denominational church because denominations were bad. And so they, in starting their non-denominational church because denominations are bad, started another denomination. That's how they do it every time. Well, I don't think denominations are right, so I'm going to go ahead and be non-denominational. You just started another denomination. Don't you understand? No matter what, you can't get out of that thing. God's got that thing set up for a reason. See, and if you don't know what it is, you better wait before you start, you know, flapping them lips. You better wait and find out what's going on. All right. The name Church of Christ, it started out being called the Christian Church and then became the Church of Christ. And, of course, they, like every other cult, claim to be the true Christian Church. And outside of the Church of Christ, you cannot go to heaven. That's what Church of Christ teaches. That's what Roman Catholicism teaches. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses teach. That's what the Mormon faith teaches. Every cult teaches that except you go our way, you can't go to heaven. How many have ever heard me say that? How many have ever heard me say if you're not a Baptist, you can't go to heaven? Of course not. That's stupid. You go to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. We're Baptists not because we believe you have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. We're Baptists because we believe the Bible. That's the difference. But you can still go to heaven and not be a Baptist. But that's because as a Baptist, we believe in soul liberty. We believe in each person having freedom of choice and freedom of will to do as they see fit to please the Lord, because the Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God. See? You don't want to go by this Bible? You want to go another way? You have the freedom to do it. Don't you? But you got to answer to God. Everyone shall give account of himself to God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. You have to answer for God. If you follow some false doctrine, you'll have to answer to God for it. If you don't rightly divide the scriptures and get messed up in what you believe or teach, you'll have to answer to God for it. And if you stand for the truth and stand there, you'll be blessed of God for it. We're told to stand. What do you think he's talking about? When the Bible talks about you as a Christian standing, what do you think it's talking about? It's talking about standing on the truth. Standing for correct doctrine. Earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, the greatest of all the heresies taught by the Campbellites, by the Church of Christ, also nicknamed water dogs. You ever heard that one? Yeah. I say, why are they nicknamed water dogs? Well, water everywhere and not a drop to drink would be their great song of faith. Simply because the Church of Christ teaches, along with Roman Catholicism and many of your Pentecostal churches and many others, they teach baptismal regeneration. Which means what? You are born again by getting wet. See? Water dog. You put the dog in water. He gets wet. Now all dogs go to heaven. You know, that kind of a thing. The Bible says without are dogs. Amen. You don't go to heaven by getting wet. You get wet by getting wet. You go to heaven by Jesus Christ. No other way. And all the devil is attempting and trying to do with every cult and with every false teaching out there is take away glory from Christ. Take away from His ability to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. To make you think there's something you have to do to put the responsibility for salvation back on your shoulders instead of by putting your complete faith and trust in Christ. And however He can accomplish that purpose, He'll do it. See? And so all He's attempting to do in any cult and any false doctrine is get you to turn away from trusting and completely in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. I'm getting a little ringing here. Is anybody else hearing? Might want to turn it down just a notch there, brother. And so what they teach is baptismal regeneration. In other words, when they see the word baptism in the Bible, they see the word water. It's kind of a fixation. See? Every time they see that word baptism, in their mind, they don't see the word baptism, they see the word water. Now, how many of you are aware of the fact that there are 7 different baptisms in the Bible? How many of you are aware that it is possible to be baptized in something other than water? See? John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you, talking to saved and lost, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John chapter 4, where the people were being baptized by Jesus, although Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. You know how many people Jesus ever baptized in water? None. Why? He would never want anybody to get confused and think that's what He came to do. He didn't come to baptize in water. He came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Say, what if I don't get baptized with the Holy Ghost? Then He'll baptize you with fire. Everybody's baptized by Jesus Christ. You understand that? Everybody. You will either be baptized by Christ in spirit, or you will be baptized by Jesus Christ in fire. Choice is yours. Choice is yours. But everybody gets baptized by Jesus Christ. Yes, brother?
I was taught that the actual baptism was just a public show of faith at the burial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection.
That's water baptism, right. We continue water baptism and we do it right. We immerse. We don't sprinkle some water on somebody's head. We bury them. Because that's what baptism is a picture of, a death, burial, and a resurrection, see? But all that is, listen, that is a physical manifestation of something that already happened to you spiritually. When you were spiritually baptized in the Holy Ghost, you entered into the spiritual church, the one body of Christ. When you are physically baptized in visible water for others to see, you then gain opportunity for entrance into the local church, a physical body. You got it? That's the difference between the physical and the spiritual. Yes, sir. Right. For anybody that doesn't receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes. Yeah. I'll prove that to you. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. A verse without a context is a pretext. We're going to read this entire portion within the context that it is written, and I believe God will show you the truth concerning this passage. So we see in verse 4, here's John out there, and he's got his camel hair coat. He's got a leather girdle, eating a grasshopper sandwich with a little honey on it. And he's out there in the Jordan River baptizing, and people are confessing their sins. He has come to the nation of Israel, and Israel only at this time. Verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers." What a way to talk. I mean, really? Where's the sweet Spirit of Christ? Now, was John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? You mean you could call somebody names and be filled with the Holy Ghost? You mean you could preach against somebody's religion and be filled with the Holy Ghost? There's the difference between believing the Bible and believing what's being shoved down your throat these days. Okay? There's John the Baptist. What is he telling them? Your parents are snakes. I mean, what a thing to say. Honestly, think about that. You generation of vipers. That means you came from snakes. Who hath warned you to what? Flee from the wrath to come. What's going to be happening to most of them Pharisees and Sadducees? Where are they going? But he's also baptizing. So you've got people there that are willing to repent and that will be turning to Christ. So you've got the whole crowd there, right? You got the saved and you got the lost, right? Verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Watch verse 9. "And think not to say within yourselves, well, we have Abraham nor father." That's Jews today. Jews today, they think they're okay. Why? Because they're born of the right seed. We have Abraham for our father. It takes more than that, see? "For God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees." Well, listen, you take out the root, what's left? Nothing. "Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into" what? Where's that tree cast and put in? What does it say? Fire. Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with" what? Water. Under repentance. "But he that cometh after me," who's he talking about? Jesus Christ, "is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you," you, that's a plural. See? "He shall baptize you, saved and lost," with what? "And with fire." That's the only two baptisms Jesus Christ comes to give, right? So, how do we know for sure that's what he's talking about? Look at verse 12. Look at it. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat," that's the harvest, that's souls, see? "Into the garner, but he will" what? "Burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." One baptism or the other, that's the context. You understand that? So Jesus Christ comes to baptize. Everybody gets baptized by Jesus Christ. You either get baptized now during this life by Jesus Christ into Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ will baptize you later in a lake of fire. That's the Bible on baptism. Now, we cover those seven baptisms. It's on one of the CDs. If anybody wants it, we got a clipboard back there. You sign up and you can order a CD. We ask that you donate $1 for a CD to help out with the expenses of making it. But if you can't, get the CD anyway. Amen. We're not out to make money on it. You know, I figure all the CDs that we have out there and all the material that's going out there free on the website, I probably could have retired by now. You know, if I'd been like these, you know, TV preachers, you know. Send $14.99 for this CD. $14.99 for a CD, man. For one CD, you know. I don't know how many Richie's made and copied and given out, but I figure if you take that and say I made $10 a CD, I'd probably be about a millionaire by now. Yeah, right. Yeah, I got shipping and handling, sure. Well, that'd be Richie's take, see, and then I'd... You know what we're doing? We're not interested in it now. There's another payday coming. We're interested in that one. Amen. Because we really believe it. Look here in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Well, you got it on your handout, so you can turn there if you want, but it's right there in Romans chapter 6. Now, notice how they'll teach concerning baptism. You come to Romans 6. In verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Now, how does the Church of Christ read that? "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into water were baptized into death?" See, every time they see the word baptism, what are they thinking automatically? See? Did that say being baptized in the water there? What did it say you were baptized in? Are you in Christ? See, when you get saved, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. You believe the Holy Spirit is God? You believe Jesus Christ is God? You got in God when you got saved. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. He baptized you into Himself. You become one with Him. You're one body with Christ. See? That's a spiritual transaction that takes place the second you're saved. Thank God for it, because the Bible says when that happened, you are now sealed by that Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You are now bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. If you can just really understand that, you'd never doubt your salvation again. Amen. If you could really get a hold of the fact that you are part of His body, you think Jesus Christ is going to hell again? Then how could you? You need to get that, see? You became one with Him. You're in His body. You were baptized, what? Into Jesus Christ. And when that happened, where did you become baptized into Jesus Christ? At the cross. See? The preaching of the cross of them that perish foolishness, but on us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. You came to the cross, and what happened is He put you in Jesus right there. That's where you get in Christ, at the cross. And when you joined Christ and got in Him, you got in His death. Christ died for sins. You've already died for your sins. Christ was buried. You've already been buried. Christ was risen. You've been risen to walk in newness of life. See? It's complete. It's finished in Jesus Christ. That's what you got to get. You get a hold of that, you'll never have that problem with baptism again. But they don't see that. They don't understand that. And they take a few verses that they like out of the Bible to prove their doctrine instead of trying to get their doctrine by keeping the verses in the Bible. Because that's a good place for them to be. Romans 6:4, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into water." It's not what it said. Baptism into what? Death, you see. You joined Christ in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into water have put on Christ." Is that what it says? What did it say? "As many of you as were baptized into Christ." See? That's the difference. And if you just read that every time and you see the word baptism and you throw water in there, you're just going to get all messed up in your doctrine. First Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now, the Church of Christ reads that, you know what they say? "The Spirit tells me to get baptized in water so I can get in the body." It didn't say that. It said you were baptized by the Spirit, you see. When you get in the Spirit, you get in Jesus Christ. You become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You become part of His body. We've already looked at the verses there in Matthew. Ephesians chapter 4. Look there in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is what? One body, right? Now, aren't there many local churches? Then how can there be one body? It's universal. Well, it can't be physical. How could every local church be part of a physical body? You know why? That's why we're Independent Baptist Church. We're autonomous. Why? Because it's physical. We're not under some conglomerate. Amen? That ain't Bible. We're under Jesus Christ. In Him only. It's a spiritual authority, not physical one. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. You got that? How many baptisms can get you to heaven? How many Lords can get you to heaven? How many faiths can get you to heaven? Just one. See? It's by putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, coming to Him as a repentant sinner. When you do that, you receive eternal life. You're put in the body of Christ. You're sealed until the day of redemption. There's one baptism. And Jesus Christ didn't come to baptize in water. He came to baptize in the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. The Bible says you are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. How are you raised up? By faith. Now, I dare any of you have enough faith to think that when I dunk you in this pool, you're going to raise yourself up by faith. And if you want to have a contest, we can try. How long can you hold your breath? I'm raising you up. Faith has nothing to do with it. You see? But when it comes to being baptized in Christ, it's all of faith. Water baptism, visible baptism, requires no faith. Now, it pleases the Lord. It's an act of obedience, and that's good. But there's no faith involved in it. What saves you is not your works. Baptism is a good work. Joining the church is a good work. Prayers are good works. Giving to the church is a good work. Serving Christ is a good work. But good works cannot save you. It is only faith in Jesus Christ that can save you. When you put your faith in Christ, you are buried with Him. You become one with Him. Amen? We got it right here. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Well, see, water saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Water saves, water saves. Spread the tidings all around. Water saves. Why don't they sing it that way? That's what they believe. I mean, what do you believe? You believe Jesus saves or you believe water saves? See? The light figure, whereunto even baptism also not say save us. What do you say? We're saved by water. Okay, so water saved Noah? Or were they saved from going into the water? Well, see, that's a picture of baptism. Strange. Because Noah didn't get wet. And a lot of people did get wet. And what happened to them? They were baptized, weren't they? What good did it do them? See? I mean, just think the thing through. Verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. See? I got baptized in water, and now look at my flesh, how clean it is. And what it's about. You understand, in the Old Testament, the priests would do that. They would take water, and before there were sacrifices and everything, they would stay clean. God told those priests, stay clean. That's a picture of something. See? But it has nothing to do with salvation. The like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us. All right, now they look at it like this. Noah's ark is the like figure for Noah of how baptism saves us. That's how they read that. No. Noah was saved how? He got in the ark. You know what the ark pictures in the Bible? Jesus Christ. Who closed the door on the ark? How could have Noah... Do you understand the door when it was closed was sealed with pitch after it was closed? Who did that? See, you're sealed until the day of redemption. How much water had shown up at that time? Now, read it the way it's supposed to be read. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism in water is what? A figure of how you and I got saved. You with me? When we get baptized in water, that is a figure of what already happened to us when we were baptized in Christ in His Spirit. So you need to read it within the context the right way. And then he explains it. Not put the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. What does water baptism do for you? Does it put away the filth of your flesh? What does it do? It allows you an answer of a good conscience toward God. Then how are you really saved? Well, he just told you. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's His death, burial, and resurrection that saves you, not water. Mark 16:15, of course, they see Jesus telling His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized in water shall be saved. But he that... Now you see... See how you read the Bible? How'd you used to read that? You want to show me water in the passage? Then you better be careful. See? Don't add to the Word of God. Just believe what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So they say, see, you got to get baptized in water. If you don't, you don't get saved. Mess people up with that thing. And the whole idea in all of that is very simply this. You are saved by putting your faith in Christ and fill in the blank. See? And the devil don't care what the and is that you add. As long as you add something. That way you're not really putting your faith in Christ. See, if I said, I am putting my faith and trust in this chair. Am I? You might pull the chair out from under me. I've got to be careful just in case the chair won't... What if it breaks if I sit down and it might not really hold me? It might not be good enough. And I better trust me. That's every single person that's trusting something other than just Jesus Christ for their salvation. Yeah. Now, I'm saved. You know how I know I'm saved? I'm resting in Jesus Christ. In Him only. Church of Christ doesn't do that. It's, well, yeah, Christ, but you have to join the right church. The church that Christ founded is the Church of Christ. And you have to be baptized by a Church of Christ elder in a Church of Christ church. Then, if you're good enough and endure to the end, you may possibly someday, fortunately, if you're good enough, get to heaven and be saved. That's religion. That's the cults. Now, you realize there's people that go to those churches and give money? And none of them even know for sure whether or not they're going to heaven? Why would you go to a preacher to teach you the Bible and try to show you how to go to heaven when he doesn't even know for sure he's going? I mean, really, does it make sense? Think about it. Does that make any sense? See? I would never trust a preacher to tell me how to go to heaven if he didn't know how to go himself. Right? I want you to look at something, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember over there in John chapter 3, where Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He's talking about two births, right? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And what's he talking about there? He's talking about water. He must be born of water and of what? The Spirit. Church of Christ reads that. What do they read? When I get baptized in water, then I get the Spirit. No. He's talking about two separate births. Look at the context of John 3 and you'll see that without a doubt. There's a first birth. What is it? It's a water birth. You know what you come out of? What breaks, ladies, before the baby comes forth? The second birth is not physical. And that's what Jesus is explaining. It's not water, it's what? Spirit. You're born of water. You're born of the Spirit. You're born of the flesh. Then you need to be born again. That's the lesson that Christ is giving there. Because what does Nicodemus say? Can I go the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He's thinking what? Physical. Jesus is showing him, no, you've already had your physical birth. Now you need your spiritual birth. If there's a verse that should put all this to rest, if you believe your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look with me, please, in verse 14. The Apostle Paul, given the revelation of the grace of Christ to preach through the world to the Gentile nations. And in verse 14, he says this, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, if baptism is necessary for salvation, why in the world is the man that had such a great burden for souls thanking God that he only baptized a couple of people in the whole city? Are you with me? Why would Paul say, I thank God I baptized none of you? That'd be like, I thank God none of you got saved. See, if baptism has anything to do with salvation, why would he say that? Because it doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It has to do with obedience after you're saved. It's a demonstration of your faith, but it can in no wise save you. Look what he says in verse 15, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. Why? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, could it get any clearer? You believe your Bible. Real plain. Baptism and the gospel are two separate things. And when you try to make baptism part of the gospel, you are preaching a cult. You're preaching a heresy. You're preaching false doctrine, and God will judge you for it unless you repent. See? Now, the Church of Christ, of course, they love Acts 2:38 just as many Pentecostals do. And Acts 2:38 is where the Jews asked Peter what they need to do to be saved. Right? Peter, what do we need to do to be saved and go to heaven? That's what they're asking Peter, right? In Acts 2? Right? Wrong. They never asked that. Why would you think that had anything to do with you going to heaven, first of all? How many Gentiles are here at this place? God's still dealing with a nation for national things, or is he dealing with individuals and spiritual things? He's dealing with a nation. He continues to deal with this nation until chapter 10 of your Bible, when the first Gentile is saved, and we'll see the difference. Acts chapter 2. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel, is that individual or is that national? Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified. Who crucified? Israel. He hath made him both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved and go to heaven? That wasn't the question. Are you reading it? What did they ask him? What do we do? What do we do? Why? Because we crucified the Messiah. So we just told him. And he was the Messiah. We believe it and we realize we made a mistake. What do we do? And so he tells them, as a nation, what to do. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, who? The house of Israel. This is not individual. This is a national thing. Can you see that? It's in English. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye, who? House of Israel, shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, who? House of Israel, and to your children, and to all that are far off, the dispersed Jews, even as many the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from hell. No. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, those that have crucified your Messiah. Separate yourselves from them. And turn back to God as a nation that He may have mercy on you. Did they do it? You know why we're here today? Because Israel rejected their Messiah. That has nothing to do with an individual salvation. You want an individual salvation? Look in Acts chapter 10. You understand there's progressive revelation through the book of Acts. You can't stop in Acts 2 and say, I got the rest of the story. It's all done. I finished the book. There's still a lot more of the book left. Don't make up your mind how the mystery ends before you've read through the whole book. You ever done that? You get a mystery thriller or something, you start reading through it. I think it was the butler. Yeah, I think the butler did it. I think he used that candlestick. No, you haven't read through the whole... How could you make that... You need to... There's more information. Get the rest of the facts. See? Before you make that determination, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. But see, that's what happens when somebody just wants to take one verse out of context to prove a doctrine that they like, instead of saying, God, I want the whole truth from your word. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. And there's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Sound like a good Jew to you? No, man. This guy's out there playing in the discos and stuff, you know. The Italian Band. No. They were soldiers. But anyway, Peter is sent to go preach the truth to this guy. Look at verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever is baptized in him, what? Is baptized in water? No. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What do you have to do to receive remission of sins? Believe in him. That's it. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, how did the Jews know that now the Gentiles could also get the Holy Ghost as well as them? They speak in tongues. Only time in your Bible ever that Gentiles speak in tongues. And it was to let those Jews know, because the tongues were a sign for the Jew, it was to let those Jews know that, okay, now the Gentiles can get the Holy Ghost just like we did. That's it. It's the only time you'll ever see a Gentile anywhere in the Bible speak in tongues. Only time ever. Prove it to you in a court of law. Right? So what are you doing going around telling everybody they need to speak in tongues? What Jews are you trying to convince or damn? Because that's the purpose of it, according to 1 Corinthians 14, is to damn the unbelieving Jews. You knew that, right? See how you just run in there? This is the Bible. This is God's Word. You better be careful dealing with God's Word. You better study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen. All right, so what happens? Verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Now he's talking about what? Water baptism. You see, how do you know? You see the word water in the passage. That's a good clue. See? When it's water baptism, God can let you know it's water baptism. When it's spiritual baptism, God can let you know it's spiritual baptism if you got an honest heart when you're reading the Bible. But see, that's why the Bible's that two-edged sword. You approach the Bible without an honest heart, man, you get cut if you're not careful. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. When they pray, then it's every certain day. So, did he get baptized in water? Yes. To get the Holy Ghost? No, the Bible says they already had the Holy Ghost before they ever got wet. Amen. You need to be baptized in Christ first, then we can get baptized in water after that. And unfortunately, the Church of Christ has everybody confused on that stuff because of their teaching on it. All right. I saw a vehicle one time, had a bumper sticker on it, and it said, "Preach Acts 2:38. Why not Acts chapter 10? I mean, that came later on. Wouldn't that be better? See? What is this Acts 2:38? You better be careful of that Acts 2:38. Amen. That's the robber ran to the police and he said, arrest me and save me. Well, what are you doing here? What's wrong with you? He said, there's this lady after me. I said, what are you talking about? I went to rob her house and she kept saying over and over again, Acts 2:38. I said, I thought she had an axe in 2:38. So you... All right, we'll go ahead and close with prayer and take a few-minute break before the service this morning. Brother Mick, would you close us in prayer, please?